Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to dedicate this sermon in honor of all the moms who are here today. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in serving and your critical role in raising children. I'm very happy to say that my mother is here today, and I'm very thankful for her. And I want to say, for the benefit of all of us who have godly mothers, a mother who fears the Lord, that is one of God's great gifts. I don't know if we realize it, but Satan is at war against children. And mothers are on the front line of that battle every day. I believe the devil's latest attack against children is this transgender mania that has gripped our culture. And we are apt to blame the politicians for passing the laws that support it. We blame the education system who want to indoctrinate our children in it. And the corporations like Disney for promoting it. But they're just Satan's ministers. He is the mastermind of it all. And what we need to understand is that there are dark, demonic powers at work driving this agenda. Spiritual forces who seek to control the hearts and minds of children. And because of their youth and naivete, they're very impressionable. And so they are easy prey. And again, moms are on the front lines in this battle for the hearts and minds of kids. So what can we do? Well, I'd like to say a couple of words of encouragement to the moms here today. And then a few words for the rest of us who stand in support for them. And I'd like to call your attention to a couple of verses in 2 Timothy. The first one being 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is Paul's most affectionate letter that he writes to his protege, Timothy, a young man that he loved very much. This is Paul's last letter, because he will shortly be executed. But this is what he writes to Timothy. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." He says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." And so the first word of encouragement that I would offer to the moms here is that it's vitally important that you nurture your own faith. Because if you neglect the cultivation of your own faith through prayer and meditation on the Word, then you enter this battle with Satan unprepared. And it's important that your children see that your faith is sincere. I think that's probably the thing that most influenced me growing up and why I'm a Christian today, is because I could see as a child that my parents' faith was genuine. It wasn't something that they just talked about. It's something that they lived. They lived it. They sacrificed for it. They suffered for it. And they continue to do so. And living your faith and cultivating a genuine, sincere faith, that will have a greater impact on your children than anything you say to them. You can't pass on a sincere faith that you don't have yourself. And Satan will try to tempt you through your kids. He'll tempt you through them to relax your rules and to compromise on your principles. And if you do, if you succumb to that temptation, then your kids will quickly learn that you're not sincere. That's why I say it's so important that you look after your own faith so that you are prepared to face off against him in this battle for your children. And let me just say, you know, to the young ladies here who aren't mothers yet, I'm sure you aspire to be mothers one day. Take the time that you have now to nurture your faith. Get prepared for that role that you will assume in the future. The other verse I would point your attention to, also in 2 Timothy, is in chapter 3, verse 15. Again, Paul, writing to his beloved friend and brother, he writes, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." You can't have a sincere faith if you don't have something to build it on. And that's where the scriptures fit in. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, hearing the word of Christ. And the scriptures are sacred. They're holy. They're sacred and holy because they're God-breathed. They are written by the finger of God. And they are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus. And anyone who's had kids or who spends a lot of time with kids knows how they are like sponges soaking up information. So what better time than when they're very young to acquaint them with God's Word? And there are a lot of tools and aids out there available for purchase to help young parents, especially with their very small children, to get them started. Picture books and children's Bibles and that sort of thing. But when they're able, when they advance in their ability to the point that they can read, it's important that they read the Bible for themselves. And that that process of planting that word into their hearts begins. I can recall growing up a couple of resources that I remember fondly. Some of you might remember these. Mrs. Lee's stories about Jesus. And there was another book Mrs. Lee's stories about God's first people. And incidentally, Mrs. Lee was Mrs. Irvin Lee. Irvin Lee was a preacher, gospel preacher down south for many years. And their daughter, Sandra, married Bob Waldron. Now, you shouldn't know that name, because we're using their workbooks in class. But those were great books, and you can still buy them. Another book that I loved as a kid was Hurlbut's Story of the Bible by Jesse Lyman Hurlbut. Who was Jesse Lyman Hurlbut? Now, he was a Methodist preacher, and he would invite the kids in his neighborhood over to his house where he would tell them Bible stories. And later, he published a collection of his stories, 168 in all, that I think starts in Genesis and goes all the way into the early church, I believe, into Acts. And it was called Hurlbut's Story of the Bible. And I still have it on my shelf. And I like to pull it out once in a while. Those types of books are great. But like I said, when your child gets to the point where they're able to start reading and they get to, I don't know, third grade, fourth grade, whatever, you know, get them started reading the Bible for themselves. And if you want a suggestion or two on translations that I would recommend for younger readers, one would be the New International Version. It's been out for a long time. And one that's more recent, and some people like it, some people don't. I think it's okay, and that is the New Living Translation. I think they're more suitable and easier for younger readers to read than, say, the ESV or the NASB. But it's important that you acquaint your children with the sacred writings of God. As I was preparing this lesson, I was thinking about the single moms that we have here. I titled this slide, Single Moms Are Awesome. And I don't say that to be patronizing. I mean it sincerely. I was a single parent. So I know from experience how hard it can be to train your children. When you don't have the support and cooperation from a spouse. But I think these two verses are very relevant to your situation. Because in a way, Timothy was raised in a single parent household. His father was a Greek, an unbeliever. So the task of teaching Timothy the scriptures that fell on his mom with the help of the grandmother. And it's apparent from Paul's letters how much he loved Timothy. He calls him his true child in the faith and speaks highly of him to the various churches he was connected to. So it can be done, is the point. By the grace of God, it can be done. Now I'd like to say something for the benefit of the rest of us, that we need to support the moms in this congregation. Husbands, appreciate your wife in her role as mother to your children. If you're blessed to be able to provide for your family from your income, which allows her to stay home and be with the kids, then be thankful for the full-time devotion that she gives to the very grave and pressing work of teaching your children about the Lord. Tell her often how much you appreciate her. God has placed you as the head of your household, the spiritual leader of your family. You're like the general at the command post who plans the strategy and gives the orders. But your wife is like the commander in the field who has to execute the plan. So make sure she knows and that your kids know how much you appreciate and support her. To the older women of this congregation who have raised children, help the younger mothers. Offer them sound counsel. You have a lot of experience to draw upon that they would surely benefit from. And it is God's will that you teach the younger women. Hear what Paul wrote to another evangelist that he mentored in Titus chapter 2. He says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." And finally, let me say something to the children. I said it's a blessing if your mother is a woman who fears the Lord. Obey your mom. And absorb and soak up, like I mentioned. Soak up the spiritual principles and lessons that she teaches you from the Word of God. Because from the Scriptures, there is great wisdom that she wants you to possess. Bradford read from us from Proverbs chapter 8. And Proverbs chapter 8 I think of as, you know, the wisdom chapter. And what's interesting about it is how wisdom is portrayed. Wisdom is not portrayed as a man, but as a woman. She's presented as this motherly figure calling out to her children. And I want to read a little bit more from Proverbs 8, very end, verses 32 through 36. This is wisdom speaking. "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." And young people, kids here today, I'd like you to try something when you go home. Take out your Bible and read Proverbs 8. And as you read it, Imagine that it's your mother speaking. And listen to what she tells you. So I'd like to say a very happy Mother's Day to all the moms here. And I apologize for getting a little emotional. I tried real hard in preparation not to do that, but but the older I get, the more I appreciate my mother. I wish I had appreciated her more when I was younger. So God, forgive me for the sins of my youth. But I want to say thank you to all the moms here. And know that I appreciate you very much. Before he died, Jesus honored his mother by entrusting her care to his beloved disciple, John. And after he completed everything that he came to do, he cried out, "It is finished," and breathed his last. He died for us so that we could be born again and live forever. And if you hear the call of the gospel this morning and you're ready to respond, then we urge you to come as we stand and sing.